So what we thought we'd do is, we still have the wisdom of our panelists in the room, but we thought rather than try to break you up into small groups and then bring you all back here in the next 12 minutes, try to wrap this up with this framework. When you think about the three focuses, whatever plural the focuses is that we've looked at today, the infrastructure needs assessment, sustainable planning and the grant program, and the natural and working lands conservation policies. Let's just collectively take a deep breath and everyone think about what you've learned, questions you still have, things that you think are important to Fresno County, and I would invite our panelists to join in on that. You've learned a lot, I'm sure, about Fresno County just in some of the questions. So we're just going to try to capture quickly what's the top of your mind as you leave here. I think you heard in the beginning that there's going to be the three working groups under the Fresno COG. So this will be useful as those groups kind of come together. So does that make sense? So if you have something specific that you want to make sure gets on the list, we'll try to capture that. So you have a comment or a...
I have a question.
Okay.
It's actually for the last panel.
Oh, that's all right. Go ahead.
First discussion. So in Placer County... when I was talking about Orange County program, one of the things that facilitated that, you mentioned all the different federal agencies, and they convened a group of these agencies, but what a lot of people don't realize is they provided funding for those agencies to attend that group and to continue to attend, and like Army Corps of Engineers is very, you know, one of the reasons they have huge delays on their permitting process is they have a limited staff. So they have a process for funding the staff at these other agencies. Do you guys have something like that in place, or... Is it easier to work with your local...
With the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in particular, there's the Water Resources Development Act from WERDA. And through WERDA, you can fund a Corps of Engineers position to do your regulatory permitting on your local government projects. So they can't work on private sector, they can only work on public projects. It's more of a challenge with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, no fisheries and Cal Fish and Wildlife. We have not funded them. We've had the good fortune of having them make commitments and staying to those commitments in terms of staffing. But it's only the Corps of Engineers that we've partially funded at work with.
And you use the same source of funding?
Hello, can you hear me? This is Bruce Hall.
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. Is there going to be a summary of the salient points? I have not been able to listen to the entire presentation to the panel. So I'm really very, very much interested to make sure that we take advantage and participate to the degree possible.
Could you say again who you were? I apologize, we couldn't hear your name.
Cruz.
Hi, Cruz. Yes, can we do that offline and maybe get you sort of a recap of this, the PowerPoints and whatnot, rather than doing it right?
Great.
Okay, yeah, we'll make sure you get those PowerPoints.
We're recording it.
Oh, and the bad news for you is we're recording this, so you can listen to this back and forth to San Joaquin on your commute.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. So, just quickly, wake those brains up. Transportivity, infrastructure, needs assessment, that discussion. Ahas, things that are important, takeaways. Steve.
My first aha was that the way we've been talking about it through the SCS process here has been limited solely to infrastructure improvement. And it sounds to me like there's a much broader variety of programmatic work that can be done that builds capacity in communities to meet GHG reductions later on down the line that other entities around the state have figured out how to access.
Excellent. So broadening that interpretation of that work.
Yeah.
It's like speed dating. What comes to your mind? Yeah.
Well, I had that same kind of reaction, although I was the entire time we've been talking about this, looking at the health impacts right. included in the needs analysis, but I don't think we've come to consensus as a community about what was going to be included in transportation needs assessment.
Yeah.
So I think it highlights the need for us to really even just define by what we mean by that.
So clearly defining what that could encompass, because it could encompass world peace, and that seems a little big, so yeah. Please, and then you, either way.
Go ahead. Okay, thank you. For the gentleman, I'm looking at another aspect as it relates to water resources and
okay.
land use. obviously these last 3 years has really kind of elevated where I see that there is a nexus associated with it as it relates to water quality, water quantity, and water reliability, as well as trying to discern that we are not doing things on a land use basis that is impairing our critical water resources.
Okay, so attention to water. I was really disappointed, Robert, to hear you say it could last a few more years. That is like, that was not. Denial is my best coping strategy. I do not like that. Please.
I think one thing to think about in terms really of all three programs is complementing this idea of natural and working lands conservation and infrastructure needs with lowering barriers to infill. I mean, one thing that I've heard, including from some people in this room, you know, when I go around talking about, you know, the need for conservation and compact growth, is that in a lot of areas in this region, even where there is strong support for infill, it just doesn't. The projects don't always pencil out. So ways to lower those barriers, whether they be policies and general plans, or providing some of the infrastructure to kind of lower cost differentials if infrastructure is more expensive in those areas. But thinking of that as something that cuts across all three programs.
Are you getting on this over there? On Fast Scribe over there? I think the important point also in what you said is that sort of looking at these as three siloed proposals is maybe worse than not doing anything at all, right? Like they all are integrated in some way, and sort of not to separate them off into three committees and hope they, right? So I heard that as well. Veronica.
I have to head out, but before I leave, my last comment is, the three proposals were spearheaded by local grassroots organizations that have been doing the day in and day out work on land use and transportation policy in Fresno County. So my suggestion is to meaningfully incorporate those local groups that led the charge on making sure, on convincing all 15 mayors and county supervisor to move these policies forward.
Okay.
And as the water piece, at initial discussions on that, on the needs assessment, included bringing in LAFCO to look at water quantity and quality as well. To make sure that piece was in there.
Thanks. And I think, Steve, you used the word earlier about genuine engagement.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's kind of what you're saying as well.
I'll add from the SCAG perspective, one of the challenges we face with public health, with incorporating public health into these discussions.
They're very challenging.
Is that the data is very different. The kind of data that transportation and land use modelers use is different. And public health, I would say 2012 was more educational process for the local public health advocates and learning how to become a part of the process, and we continue to engage with them. But one of the things is that they see data in terms of vectors and in terms of kind of pathways, and that's it's very difficult for us in our more kind of engineering mindset to put a range into a box that requires a single number. And so it's good at a policy level, but then when it comes down to it, when you try and make their data fit with our data, a lot of public health data isn't very old or it has a very spotty record. And so, transportation data, as limited as it is, we have it for 30, 40 years, so we have it every year. And so it does get challenging to use the technical tools. So
that's an
ongoing process, even in the places that are further along in the policy side.
That's a great point. So how to reconcile the two sort of data streams. Jared?
And then Sarah? Not to be too morbid, but being it's the public health.
You've had a heart attack, Matt. You've already established that as your deal here.
One of the important things to emphasize is that as we move as a county from a county that's more sedentary to a county that's more active, you have to realize that if we're ranking air quality in fine particulate matter, Fresno County on average violates about 87 days per year about EPA standard for fine particulate matter, which has been shown to put you twice as likely to experience a heart attack within that time period. So now you have an obese population that is going to be more active, and there could potentially be fallout in the death statistics in the short term. So it's not to be naysaying, not to act as negative. These activities need to happen. You just need to be aware of what the current status of the air quality is, and maybe when you're planning bike paths, do so away from freeway-type environments because you have higher concentration ozone toxins and things like that in those, which can increase the recovery time between exercising activities.
Just speaks also to kind of connecting the dots again, right? Planning the bike paths, if you don't think about the unintended consequence of someone having a heart attack, your map will, who knows what your map will look like. Sarah?
I really liked Steve's comments at the very beginning and how they actually did training. What I got out of it was training to make everybody play nice together.
Okay.
Because I think we know how to do that, but we may not actually know how to do that. And doing it, training at the beginning probably would make it.
So there is a science to public engagement or a skill set?
Yeah, some of us had to do it twice.
Remedial civic engagement training. Other comments? Yeah?
Just real quick, one of the problems we have, particularly in terms of active transportation data, is the lack thereof. But what we're finding that is that a lot of cities collect the data in innovative ways, such as if they're doing a traffic warrant for a signal, then they're going to look at the number of people driving through as well as the number of people walking or biking through that intersection. And then those are, or if there's an EIR for a major construction project, that will also be done. And then these studies then get put on a shelf somewhere and never get seen to see the light of day. And if you can get that data, then you have data you didn't have before that gives you a better indication than you have before. It's not perfect data, but it is some data. So that's
interesting. So looking for some of this data in unlikely places.
Correct.
That's interesting. The second piece is on the grant program. That got a lot of attention at the COG board meetings. Thoughts or ahas or... gosh, I really want to make sure we include this in our own work here. Any thoughts specifically on grants that we didn't hear up here already? I think the point on the sort of disadvantaged community piece is huge. How do we address those communities that are so, there's outlying of any other metric, it just seems like. So
yeah, it's like comparing apples to oranges.
Yeah,
you see the median income's probably, you know, comparatively,
yeah.
It just doesn't even compare. So it's not that we'd love to be able to do all this, but you have to face the reality of what we have to work with.
Where are you from?
Selma.
Well, I think Selma compared to, with great love, San Joaquin or Mendota or others is probably quite affluent in some of, you know.
Yeah.
So I just think that Fresno County has those challenges that are so extraordinary that I don't think we know what it's like to live in a place where you spend half your income on water. I just don't think we get that. And so to talk about having a heart attack is like the least of my worries. I don't have any water.
Yeah.
So I think we have to be mindful of that.
And the Board of Supervisors, if they went dedicated land and bought land and people are having trouble drinking water,
yeah,
they'd be lynched. You know, it's and not to say some of these concepts are good, because I was on the group that looked at buffer zones. And we met, we tried to define it and look at it. But how do you fund it? And so this was helpful information to look at some strategies and ideas that might be able to move that forward.
So I think funding strategies for some of these conservation, some of the grant programs as well as the conservation area. Yes, Steve, and then back to you. Steve?
Well, just one quick observation, and that's that it seems like every other region that is planning these grants programs is fundamentally kind of an urban region. And that there's a lot more rural area in your planning area. And that looking really closely at the guidelines to try to ensure some sort of equity so that there are opportunities for improvement in these rural regions is going to be a really important part of this process.
Well, I think just our experience here is what is improvement in a rural area is not actually improvement at all in downtown, even downtown Selma or Clover. Right? So I think the metrics of improvement need to be adjusted to the, you know, to the
place.
Yes,
exactly.
Place. Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
You know, a sidewalk project in one of these communities might be as important as a transit stop in another one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Here and then Melissa.
So I just wanted to follow up on the comment about water and conservation and just make the point that...
Can you say where you're from?
Adam Livingston,
nice.
Here on behalf of Sequoia Riverlands Trust and the Southern Sierra Partnership.
Thank you.
I think it's important to note, though, that there is a real connection between conserving land and watersheds that actually brings water down, brings melted snowpack down from the mountains, and, conserving... groundwater recharge areas, there's a real connection between that and water availability. So I think it's important both, for us to be aware of that, but also to be clear and explain that, you know, the conservation program isn't just about, you know, protecting pretty areas so, you know, rich people can play outside. I mean, it really does connect to the physical and biological systems that make life in this region possible. So that just that we all need to be very clear on that and be sure that, you know, that the public is clear.
Melissa and then Sarah, Melissa first, then you.
I noticed, and it's actually based on Steve's comment, and it's more of a question if I can, for Pauline. You know, we talked about equality and making sure that the funds kind of get distributed based on if you've been addressing like the disadvantaged communities. And I know that the SCAC region does competitive portion of the funds and then also some formula base. How do you all, because I didn't capture that in your presentation, it almost sounded like everything was competitive. How do you make sure that the rural areas do benefit from the funding?
We don't necessarily look just at the rural areas. What we do is low income and minority, and we have a map of the low income minority populations in the region. There are certain definitions that we've come up with. And then we do what we call kind of a social equity analysis once we've done the competitive process. And so then we look to see, you know, are we disproportionately providing grants in areas that are not within those mapped areas? And then we do that analysis and can make some adjustments if needed. It turns out that largely in our region, the lower income minority populations are in more urban areas. Definitely, we're seeing the population growth in the more rural areas of the, you know, lower income folks. So that's, we do this analysis and then make some adjustments.
I would add one.
Oh, go ahead. That's all right. Add to that, and then I'll go back.
Yeah, just really quickly with the grant program. I mean, one of the things I was struck by what they said in Placer County is that as you get better at doing this, you get better at getting other grants. And so part of that is providing the resources, the planning resources, to small communities, low-income communities, but with very limited resources. So I've always been a big proponent of also providing access to grant writers. We also have an electric vehicle program, completely off the topic, but we were part of marshaling a lot of resources to get cities that wanted this stuff in touch with grant writers. Professional grant, when you look at the active transportation planning grants from our region, I know that some of the cities that were most successful hired professional grant writers. And so, you know, I've always thought one of the things we could do is mini grants like you do with community outreach, but one of the models that might work really well here would be $15,000 grants, a program of $15,000 grants for cities to hire professional grant writers to go out for SGC funds, to go out for ATP funds, and once you win, you know, as you get the grants, you get better at applying for the grants, you start implementing the grants, and you have more of a track record. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, it's a question of equity is the fact that those areas that suffer the most, they don't even have access to better themselves because they can't get into the game.
Right. That's an excellent point. Let me go over here first.
I just wanted to add what MTC did on the low income.
Can I? Because these guys are giving me eight. Let's go. Okay. Then I'll come back to you.
Before I forget my thought. One of the things, and I really liked what Steve had said earlier about when we're looking at our future and laying that foundation of whatever we do, our policies will really demonstrate our values. So understanding what collectively our values are. In regards to health, I think if you can kind of narrow your focus, because there's so many things that, you know, can impact health, but we look at ways that the policies that we develop can improve access to healthy foods, access to physical activity, and better air, that will have a domino effect on all those diseases that Jared talked about.
Right.
So kind of narrow the focus and just kind of move forward with those. I think that would give us some movement forward without getting all stuck in the middle.
So some focus in our community on health. Sarah, that's a good idea. Did you tell her to say that, Sarah? I'm kidding. Please. Sarah and I are working on a project that's not unlike that. So I'm like, that's a good idea. Yeah. Go ahead.
I just want to say in terms of our grant program, we insisted and made it a requirement that the counties do work with the jurisdictions and the communities of concern to do planning first. And as part of just not only looking at infrastructure needs in priority development areas, but looking at the needs of the community of concerns, and that those be incorporated later on when they do project selection, that those communities of concern, their needs be considered, and that includes affordable housing, as well as populations exposed to outdoor toxic air contaminants as well. And then we've already seen that even though some of these plans are not at fruition, where the counties are giving extra points in these areas to these communities.
Yeah, okay. All right. So again, some attention to those communities. Sarah and then Alan. Right? Alan and Spandex. Sarah.
One of the things I was inspired by just hearing from all these programs is that we can do it, and it's not like something crazy that we came up with here locally, that we really are.
Oh, we did think we were crazy, but that's a different.
I know everybody thought we were crazy.
No, we didn't.
I'm really inspired to hear how they were able to take current streams of funding and redirect them or repurpose them. And so in thinking about that, I thought, if I'm going to be on that committee, we need all these people to come like five more times, because I think we just barely understand what they are doing. Hopefully we can use their PowerPoints, but I think we, understanding how those grant programs have been designed and how they score and how they prioritize and all the things that we could possibly do here, I think we're going to need some more expert feedback in the future.
Yeah, we did comment that all of our panelists could have talked for half a day on their piece of the puzzle. So as the work groups get going and you figure out what we don't know enough about, I'm sure they would all be willing to either come back or call in, some combination. Or we could go to San Diego.
Yeah, can we
go to
San Diego?
I'm suggesting.
We can go to the Bay Area.
Placer County, whatever. But yeah, I think that's true. Alan.
Actually, just to segue on what she said, one of the things that we did that's very interesting at SCAG, and I think Mark was the one that set this up, is we had what we call a Toolbox Tuesday, where it's on one topic, we invite local consultants, academic experts, and occasionally we'll fly someone in to actually speak to everyone on a specific topic. And for example, when it became time for the ATP, we had someone from Caltrans, we had someone from the Department of Health, we had us all talking about how to properly apply for that grant, and we had over 270 people show up for it.
Wow.
So it was rather amazing. And normally we get around 50 to 70 about every other month in the summer, and that might be something that you could do with your member cities that could then bring that expertise to them.
It's a very good idea. Thank you for that. Any last comments? I'm going to just go around the room. Last comments. Brenda, how's it?
I had a question for Colleen.
Okay.
Where'd she go?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Okay. Of course, I want to know more about your mini grant program, since I have run ours twice, and I think that I may have originally gotten the idea from SACOG, but I'm not sure. I know it was another agency that did some small grants, but yours are much larger. So, is that information available on your website? Is it?
Yes, I have a link, and it shows all the partners that we've engaged, and it talks about the program. So,
okay.
It's there. And I think something that was really important, that it is a competitive process, how they were selected,
mm-hmm.
and they were selected based on their ability to convene populations that weren't represented in
right.
the planning process. So it's all right. up on our website.
Okay.
So that's an interesting criteria, though. I mean, that's how you can build in some of this, right? If that's one of the criteria, that's good. All right, round the table. Any last comments? Like an auction, nobody moves. Anything?
Hey, there's real value to peer exchanges like this.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Like
Thank
hearing
you.
From other professionals from across the state.
Yeah.
Good, mm-hmm. good
Thank
thing.
You. Thanks for being part of the supervisor. Anything?
Thanks for the opportunity here. It's interesting that I guess one thing is that some things never change regardless of where you go.
And you could be in any community. You're like, you have this deja vu. If I had this conversation before, anything else? Anyone up here? Middle of the room? Anybody? So I will close with, first of all, I will close with a round of applause to our awesome panelists for making a drive and time. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Thanks to COG staff to put this together. I will leave those of you, Dr. Bird or Dr. Rutledge, others from cities. Local Government Commission is sponsoring an event on September 10th on Living Well in the San Joaquin Valley. And the idea is to get public health, school district leaders, mayors, hospital CEOs in the same space. It was an idea that Josh and I cooked up and his boss one day. So if you know a public health officer, Dr. Bird, if you know one, or an epidemiologist, or a mayor, or a council member, or a school board member, take one of these. We'd like to have a good conversation trying to link hospitals as health players with cities and try to figure out how to make that connection. So Josh will pass these out or put them over by the door. Maybe would you mind?
Thanks.
Lynn?
Yeah. Is there room in that discussion, as we were just saying outside, for including transportation planners in that discussion? Because we are doing a needs assessment. You were telling me hospitals are doing needs assessments. So let's talk on the ground floor.
Absolutely.
Before one is done, let's do one together.
Sure, if you could record that. If we end up with like 14 needs assessments in Fresno County, I will need mental health care. So one of our strategies could be, could we have a single map, a single assessment, a single look at the data? Because everyone, health department does one, COG wants to do one, hospitals already do one, it's kind of crazy making. So that would be a good strategy to come out of that initial work group policy. All right, anything else? Thank you again to the panelists for making the drive. I'm sure if people have questions, you'd entertain them on your way up. Jeff must have like 7 more questions
out
there. So you guys stand by the door and stop and talk to Jeff. Thanks everybody for coming.